There. So I wanted to start by asking you to indulge me this evening by joining me in some liturgy. As a child, some of the words which have been created from scripture that are this particular one is from the Anglican Church, filled me with wonder as a child. And for example, I wondered why it was we talked about the Catholic Church in the Creed, and as a young child I didn't understand the meaning of Catholic, meaning all-encompassing, the whole church, all the believers. As a child I was thinking, isn't that, you know, the church down the road, but we're in the Church of England. So I didn't understand that united coming together. And some of the words, which this is just a very brief part of the service we're using today, but some of the words I've found to be powerful. But also I love that in our church we have freedom to celebrate communion in so many different ways. So it's lovely to share these words tonight. So where there should have been parts in bold for us all to say together, Keith and I have just quickly popped a bit of highlighter on. So please see if you can work out when to join in. You can join in with everything if you want. Just say whatever you like, because we are free to just join together. So welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you. We worship with Christians near and far, old and young. God's word is for all of us. May it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, speak to us that we may hear your word. Move among us that we may behold your glory. Receive our prayers that we may learn to trust you. Amen. So we're going to move into a time of worship, and then Jean-Fee's going to lead us in a time reflecting on the word. And then we're going to come together, worshipping, leading us into a time of communion where we're going to have the opportunity to say the creed. We're going to have some time of prayer, and there's going to be a short time of open prayer for you to bring prayers for others to God in intercession. And then we'll share the bread and the wine together.
Good evening, everyone. This morning we talked about the power of God's word and how we can hear God's voice through the written word. And I've got one title for tonight. And that title is about the Virgin Mary, with all due respect, and that's very important. The Virgin Mary is not just for Christmas, because we tend to, in our evangelical circles, we just talk a little bit about the Virgin Mary for Christmas, and that's about it. And then she goes back into a drawer, and that's it, evacuated. Now, Rachel was talking about the Catholic Church. And, we may have sort of different views on that and what we do, but, okay, my point. Virginity is a very important notion. Now, what I mean by that is a spiritual virginity. That means naivety. That means simplicity. And the virginity has been used by many ancient authors as a real image of the human openness to God's word. Now, it might surprise you and might even get you quite worried, but the Quran actually talks much more about Mary than our New Testament. And among the spirituals of Islam, one of the themes that they come back to again and again is the spiritual virginity, which is basically this this idea that, okay, we've got the greatness of God, and at one point, we need to bow down to that. Okay. I'm not getting confused, okay? I'm not moving on to a different religion. I'm not doing that. But it is quite important. What I would like to do tonight is concentrate on naivety, simplicity. Now, in the past year, we've had a couple of evenings where we have used a slightly different method, which is called Lectio Divina. And that is a Latin term, so it's very Catholic in a way. But it's something which is very important. It's about meditation. It's about starting with the Word of God, with naivete, with this sort of virginity, without trying to sort of get too clever about it. And trying to be too clever about it is certainly one of my faults, okay? So I confess my sin with you. But coming to the Word of God, knowing that the Word of God is going to speak to us, is incredibly important in our growth. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, I would like you to turn to the first psalm, Psalm 1. And in the first psalm, there is something about meditating. Very first words in the book of Psalms, the first three verses. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Now, meditation, I'm not going to go in any sort of Hebrew or Greek about that, you'd be glad to know, but it opens up the most spiritual books of the Bible, the Psalms. And that's something that maybe we don't do enough. For tonight, I've got some, I've printed on big A3, and I'm going to show you one thing about it. On the big of A3, I've got one chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. It's a whole chapter. There's a fair bit there. It doesn't mean that we have to dutifully just go through all of that. But that meditation is going to be what you're going to do, and I'm going to be silent. So that's the good news. Okay, I'm not going to talk to you much more. What is much more important is to switch to God's voice. Now, I've removed all numbers, all verses numbers, because these are, sometimes they just get in the way. All I've got is maybe a little bit of space between units of meaning, pericopes, or simply paragraphs. And we're going to take it in that way. I've got highlighters. If you are the sort of people who like highlighting, there are some highlighters. But we're going to take a few minutes to simply get organized and for these to come to you. If you wish to come and grab a highlighter before Matthew just disposes of them, or could you give out some highlighters, Matthew? You will, okay. I'm only going to read with you a few first verses, and could I have an assistant in that case? Could I have just... you're paid, aren't you? Sorry. That's very low. If you could just... there should be one enough for everyone. So you've got a bit of space. If you have any form of Bibles with you, paper versions or electronic versions, you may use them as well. There is no ban on modern versions. Lord Jesus, we want now to come to your word, not because it's an exercise, not because I'm a teacher and I like to organize these things in a classroom, but Lord, I pray that our hearts be ready to hear you, to discover maybe something that we hadn't seen before in a text that maybe we know a little already. So, Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be with you, with us. Anoint us with a desire to get closer and closer to you. Amen. I'll just read out the first paragraph that we have here. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and you become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Now, this is obviously to be continued, and in the little group where I was, that's basically where we got to. We talked about naivety, and we will all understand from there that, okay, yes, we can dig deeper, but it really starts at simply reading. We talked about biblical literacy this morning, and I have to say that we have a very easy life. We are not too worried about the food that we're going to have tomorrow for most of us. It's not the case for everyone in and around Midsummer Norton, but for most of us, we've got our food. We've got easy access to the Word of God. We can read it. We have been educated so that we can read it. There's also other people on our planet, brothers and sisters of ours, who do not have the same easy access to the Word of God. And what I have noticed is that sometimes the hardest it is, the greatest the hunger. Matt, I don't know what, if you've been to places around the world where the hunger to read, understand, chew, meditate on God's Word is actually sharpened by the fact that it's not that easily available. On my phone, I've got multiple versions of the Bible. I've got a very big version of the Bible here with loads of different notes, and I've got exactly the same version on my phone, plus other study Bibles. That doesn't mean that our world can hear the world in a better way, but we have easy access, really, to the Bible. The challenge for us is to take the time to focus and hear God's Word in the written Word, as well as in prayer. The Word of God is bread of life. And that's a very easy transition to a time of communion. There's quite a few passages in the Bible where, very literally, the communion is made to eat the papyrus. Now, papyrus was used to make books, but it was also a type of food, not just in Egypt, but around the Eastern Mediterranean. And that's one way to really have that communion to the Word of God. Feed on it, quite literally.
And if you'd like to stand, feel free. Thank you.